Hi, this is Peter Wink, Vice President of Marketing for Hypnotic Marketing, Inc. I want to welcome you to the special interview segment, The Awakened Millionaire. I want to introduce you to a very special guest. He's the author of tons of best-selling books, including The Key, The Attractor Factor, Zero Limits, There's a Customer Born Every Minute, Hypnotic Writing, Buying Trances, Life's Missing Instruction Manual, and his latest bestseller, Inspired Marketing. He also has produced several audio and DVD programs, including The Missing Secret, The Power of Outrageous Marketing, and a brand new program called The Awakening Course. He's been interviewed on Larry King Live twice, appeared on The Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch, starred in the famous movie The Secret, as well as The Opus, The Leap, and Try It on Everything. He even owns one of the most popular websites on the internet, MrFire.com. So without further ado, I want to introduce best-selling author and a man I'm proud to call my friend, Dr. Joe Vitale. Great to have you here, Joe.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. How about you?
Doing great. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Joe, you talk about what you call the awakened millionaire. Can you please explain to the listeners what it means to be an awakened millionaire?
Well, the short answer is you're not worried about money. The longer answer is you're at peace with yourself, you're at peace with your finances, and you're doing something to make a difference in your life, your community, and your world. But really, it's all about being at ease and at peace, clear, clean with money.
In your book, Adventures Within, which, by the way, is absolutely phenomenal. In fact, I wish you'd promote it more. I'm probably one of the few people who's had a chance to read it cover to cover. You talk about what I can only describe as one of the most incredible journeys through life. Tell the listeners about your background and how you went from homeless to a financially independent best-selling author.
Peter, how much time do we have after all here? That's quite a story. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Born and raised in Ohio, worked on the railroad most of my life. I escaped Ohio when I was on unemployment, and I went to Texas. But there was a fateful turn where I was unemployed and then became homeless for a while. And I used to not talk about it because it was embarrassing and it was traumatic. I did go to Houston, and I was in virtual poverty for about 10 years. I had to do a lot of work on myself, a lot of belief clearing, a lot of self-esteem issues were at cost here. I kept wanting to be an author. I kept focusing on being an author. I had a play produced in 1979. Most people don't know about that, the Robert Bivens Interview. And it won an award at the University of Houston back at that time period. But I made no money from it, and I was back on the streets right after it. So I had a lot of disappointments, and as I kept reading books and self-improvement books and working on myself, thank goodness for libraries where I can go read books like The Magic of Believing and Think and Grow Rich, I began to have a little turnaround. But it didn't happen overnight, Peter. I had to work at this for like 30 years. It wasn't until 1984 that I had my first book published, but even then I realized that publishers don't know how to market books. I had to actually learn marketing, learn copywriting, learn advertising, learn publicity, because the very first client I had as a marketer was me. So as I made my first book pretty successful in a conservative sort of way, I started to get clients and I started to get known in Houston. And then I was doing all right with that. But when the internet came along, I started to do what I was doing in Houston on the internet. That brought me even more clients. I think a big turning point was when ebooks came around, and I give full credit to a fellow named Mark Joyner, who helped me with my first ebook. When I realized how much money they could make, and I started making a great deal of money online, I came out with 17 more ebooks pretty quickly. Along the way, I started to tell the story about me being a spiritual marketer and how I was always using these inside-out approaches to doing marketing and to doing living. But I was worried about it. I thought people would make fun of me. I ended up releasing this book called Spiritual Marketing, which was my coming out of the closet, so to speak, as a, I guess we'll call, awakened millionaire, because I was using spiritual principles in business. And it turned out that the business world loved it. That book became The Attractor Factor, which became an Amazon bestseller, which is the reason I ended up in the movie The Secret. And from The Secret, I ended up in Larry King, Donnie Deutsch, and then I was in The Opus, Try It on Everything, The Leap, and other movies, other TV shows, other books, and on and on and on. That's the long answer. The short answer, because everybody asked me, how did you go from homeless to multimillionaire? How do you go from unknown to being world famous? How do you go from being a nobody to being in several movies and on national TV? Well, it's the ruthless persistence of following a dream.
Interesting. So the overnight success took 30 years.
When I look at different biographies and I find that people were an overnight success and I go and I dissect that, it looks like an overnight success often takes 20-some years. I'm a slow learner, so it took me a little longer.
So where did your awakening come in?
That's a wonderful question. There's been awakenings all along the course of my life. I've created the Awakening Course to help people understand that there's different stages that you go through in life. The one that I was stuck in, that many people are still stuck in, is victimhood. And when I was on the street, I certainly felt like a victim. And when I was in virtual poverty for 10 years in Houston, I certainly felt like a victim. And that's a tough one to be in because it's you against the world. You really feel like you are alone. You really feel like you are vulnerable. You really feel like you are defenseless. You really feel like you have no hope. That's a toughie. But I really think that it was books like The Magic of Believing and Think and Grow Rich and all the self-help and psychology books I was reading because of the public library, and I had free access to them, that caused me to awaken to the idea that I could actually have empowerment, that I can actually have more control of my life than I ever did before. That's a couple of the things that happened there. Also, I'm a great believer in coaching. I even started my own Miracles coaching program because having a coach clearly, definitely was a turning point in my life. Then I was able to see my own belief system, and then I had somebody who believed in me when I wasn't really believing in myself. I really believe that coaching is a bottom line, definitive turning point tool to have in anybody's career. And it certainly was a change for me.
Listening to you talk, having read your books, reading a lot of stories from other people who say their parents were partly responsible for where they ended up in their life. And I'm just curious, when you were growing up, what were some of your thoughts about money and how did they shape your early life? Did they have an influence?
Oh, they always have an influence. This is part of what I teach people is that when you're growing up, you're being programmed by your parents, by society, by the school system, by the government, by the media, by the religions, all of it. And they're not doing it with any sort of negative intention or purpose, but it's happening to you almost unconsciously. It certainly was happening to me as well. I saw my father be the breadwinner for a family of four. He was the only one working because that was the mindset at that time in our history. And he would come home stressed out, angry, in rage, because he wasn't able to pay all the bills. And we went through periods where they counted how much toilet paper we would use as kids. And I heard phrases like there wasn't enough money and there would never be enough money. And so that became part of my programming. I'm not unique in this. All of us, all of the listeners go through this. You probably went through this, that the parents hear about lack and limitation, and it feels very real to them. They pass it on to impressionable children, like myself, like you, and we take that to, in some cases, to our grave. Fortunately, there are books, there are audios, there are movies, there are CDs, there are things that help awaken you. And that's my purpose today. I'm trying to awaken people to the fact that they can transcend all the limitations they had before, including that money programming I and others had as a child.
I've been fortunate that I've been able to go through and hear kind of the pre-release of the Awakening program, and you discuss a really profound topic. In fact, it's one of the most profound topics I've ever heard about. It's about how people get stuck in a victim mentality. Can you tell the listeners how they can tell if they're a victim? How did you feel like a victim, and how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. The easiest answer to it is that when something's going wrong in your life, when it feels like it's not going your way and you have bumps in the road and there's accidents and there's problems and there's debt, who do you blame it on? Who do you blame it on? Most likely, you'll blame it on somebody else. When you're in the victim mentality, you don't take responsibility. You take some action, but you don't take full responsibility. You look around and you say, oh, it's my neighbor's fault for having this problem. It's the government's fault. It's the president's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my family's fault. It's the fact that my parents raised me this way. It's their fault. You look around and you point fingers. When you're doing that, you're playing the victim. When you feel like they, whoever they are out to get you, or they are controlling your well-being, they are controlling the rules and regulations of your life, they are controlling the political system. Whenever you say they, and you point, and you blame, and you shirk responsibility, you're clearly in victimhood. And I want to go ahead and add that virtually all of us are there. We may awaken at some point and go into the second, third, or even the fourth stage, but most of the time we all play touch and go with victimhood because the mass of humankind seems to feel like they are a victim. We hear it in the media, so it gets reinforced. We hear it with the government. We hear it no matter where we're at, we hear it. So it's around. It's around.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've been known to be wrong. You're saying that anytime I blame something outside of myself, I'm a victim. I'm acting in a victim mentality.
Yes, when you're blaming, you are being a victim. What you want to do is take responsibility. I tell people, whatever the problem is, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And that's a big statement, and I'm going to repeat it because I really want it to be embedded in people's minds. It is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. So when there is something going wrong, and most people have a problem of one sort or another, we live in a high-stress time, you're not to beat yourself up for it. You're not to feel guilty because of it. But it is in your hands. It is in your face, and you have to do something about it. So I say take responsibility for it. When you take responsibility, you're not a victim anymore. Now you are empowered. Now you are taking control. Now you are moving forward. That's what you want to do.
It's interesting, my friend. I've known you for over 10 years, and I've followed your journey. I don't know if anybody knows your journey any better than I do. It's just kind of funny. I remember at one point you're driving a Saturn, then it was a customized BMW, then an exotic Pinot's race car. Now you're buying up every celebrity car you can get your hands on. It's unbelievable. How did you turn your finances around? Was this some sort of mind shift?
It was a mind shift, but I think it began more with a leap of faith. I remember when I went to go buy the Saturn. I had been driving clunkers of cars, the kind of cars where you're nervous it's going to break down or not. And I was feeling like a victim within that car. And if it broke down, I certainly felt like a victim because now I had to scramble to go find the money to repair it. And I remember wanting a car that was reliable. And this is useful because I set an intention. I'm a great believer in setting intentions. I write about it in my book, The Attractor Factor, which is what got me into the movie The Secret. So I set an intention that I wanted to have a car, and I wanted to have a car that was reliable, that was safe, that was inexpensive. I didn't care if it really looked that nice. I did want it to look nice, but that wasn't the top priority. Safety was the number one one. Reliability was number two. And I started looking around at cars, and I kept seeing write-ups for the new Saturn, which was coming out at that time period. This was a long time ago, and this was in Houston. And I went to a dealership, and I was nervous when I went there for a couple reasons. One is I had been a car salesman in the past. I knew at the dealership where I had been, they had trained us to lie to people and to manipulate people, and I hated it. I learned a lot about human psychology. I learned a lot about how traditional used car dealerships can be. So I was nervous to go on the lot for the Saturn dealership. And I was also nervous because I didn't have credit and I didn't have money. I went there because I had a coach who encouraged me, a coach who said, you should go there, go get the kind of car you want, at least try. Go through the motions and see what could come out of it. So first thing I did was set an intention. Second thing I did was take action. And I remember going there and I saw this car. It was a beautiful gold Saturn. It was a sporty Saturn coupe. And I fell in love with it. I wanted to know a couple things. Does it have a cassette player? And that was important to me at that point. And again, I'm dating myself because it had a cassette player in it.
Not an 8-track.
No 8-track.
Okay, yeah. Cassette. We'll give you that.
We didn't go that far back to 8-tracks, but we went to a cassette. And it was important because I was always working on myself. When I was driving around, I'm listening to cassettes from Nightingale Conant, wherever I can get them. And so I needed to know I can listen and program my mind for success. So I'm doing that. Well, the car had all of that. I took a deep breath and I said, well, let's go inside and I'll fill out the forms to see if I can actually qualify for anything. And I did. I filled out the forms. They wanted me to put money down. And I was so nervous and so uncertain, I wouldn't give him a dollar. And he said, well, the car might get sold. And I said, okay, fine with me. I'm just going to give you the application. You call me later if I can qualify. And I left. I left and I went and played music with some friends of mine. I totally forgot about it until later that day when I got a phone call saying, you qualified for the car. And I stammered and said, are you sure you have the right person? Does it really say Joe Vitale on the application? Does it really say approved? And he said, yes. And I went back and I got the car, which was my first new car ever. And I remember thinking as I drove it off, I have enough money to make one payment. I don't have enough money to make the second payment. And I had something like a 4-year loan, as I remember it, on that car. So I left. Now, look at the principles here. I set an intention to get that car. I was not of the mindset that I believed I would get it yet, but I had a coach who believed in me. So I set an intention. I followed his encouragement. I took action. I went and did everything they asked me to do, and then I let go. These are all elements of what I teach. And a little later, I find out that I actually did get the car. Now, the punchline to this is every month when the bill would come in, I'd look at it and go, I don't have enough money. But somehow, I always paid it. The mind shift you're talking about in this particular case had a whole lot to do with trust. When I trusted while taking action, things started to work out. After I got tired of having that Saturn after a couple years, I turned it in for another new Saturn. It's now much easier to get a Saturn because my credit was good. I had a Saturn. I am a Saturn customer. And for the record, Saturns are not like the used car dealerships of old. They are wonderful cars, wonderful people, and wonderful service organizations. But at a certain point, it was time for me to jump up. But the answer to your question, it had a whole lot to do with intention and trust, even when I felt internally I wasn't quite ready.
Very interesting. You keep using the word intention.
Yes.
Now, this is really interesting. You and I know what an intention is. We talk about it all the time. I've read about it in all your books. But the listeners probably have no clue what you're talking about. Can you tell the listeners really quick what an intention is?
I love intentions, and I love talking about intentions. I turned on Oprah one day. I don't watch her all that much, but I caught her. This is one of those synchronistic moments when she said, "Intention rules the earth." And I'm like, all right, Oprah. She knows exactly what's going on. An intention is a declaration of how you want things to be. It's a little bit like a goal, but it's more clear than a goal. I think goals and goal setting is all fine, but it's usually ego-driven. And we've talked about it so much, it's a bit worn off its charm. I talk about intention because it seems so much more powerful. An intention is something like, I intend to receive $5,000 in unexpected income over the next 30 days. I intend to sell 7 more prospects on my services. I intend to get 30 more clients in the next 6 months. I intend to get my book published. As you can hear, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of focus here. There's a lot of conviction in your voice when you say it. When you state an intention like this, you're doing a couple things. The first thing you're doing is realigning your body and mind to go in the same direction. Your body and your mind can go in different directions. We have subpersonalities. Our body may want to do one thing. Our conscious mind may want to do a different thing. Our unconscious mind may want to do a different thing. I used to describe this by saying if you walked into the public library and you had no clue what kind of book you were looking for, you'd roam all over the place. But if you walked in the public library and said, I'm looking for Joe Vitale's book, The Key, you would just go right to that book and right to that section. You would not have any wasted time, wasted energy, anything. You are clear about your direction. You are clear about your focus. You're clear about your intention. So when you state an intention, your conscious, your unconscious, all of your body system is going in one direction. But there's something magical that happens, and this is something the awakened millionaire would know. What happens is that you send a signal into the universe, and the universe almost rearranges itself to make your intention come true. Suddenly, you'll get a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from. Suddenly, you'll meet somebody, a complete stranger, in a coffee shop or a bookstore or at a seminar. You'll get an idea to do something, to open a business, to write a book, to attend a seminar. Who knows what it'll be? But your intention will send a signal out into the universe that's on a magnetic level. Some people know about the law of attraction, some don't. But the basic idea is whatever you're feeling on the inside with integrity is actually going to pull the light to it from the outer experience. So intention is very powerful. It's working on multiple layers. And I advise people to have intentions every day, if not every hour. For example, people can be listening to this and say, what is my intention to get out of this? What do I want to get from the awakened millionaire? You set an intention for it, and lo and behold, you will fulfill it because you've directed your mind to go on a radar alert, be looking for that. So intention is incredibly powerful.
You know, I want to kind of go back to the attractor factor for a second here, your best-selling book. You talk about there being another way to live financially. It's all centered around your current beliefs about money and how they have to shift if you want long-lasting change. Can you explain to our listeners how they can tell if they have limiting beliefs about money?
The easiest way is to ask yourself, do you have money or not? Well, most people will say they don't. And I think the first mind shift they have to make is to realize they do have money. They actually have some money. They've got some sort of transportation. They've got some sort of home that they're living in or efficiency. They've got some sort of roof over their head. They have some sort of clothing. They may or may not have some sort of job or income or unemployment. But all of that counts as money. And if they dismiss it, they're probably coming from a lack and limitation mindset. They're probably coming from a victim mindset. And the awakened millionaire actually comes from an abundance mindset. That person, he or she, will look around and realize, first of all, I may want more, but I actually have plenty. I may want a bigger car, better car, faster car. I may want a bigger house, more luxurious house. I may want a more lucrative job. I may want my own business. I may want any number of things. But the awakened millionaire actually realizes, I'm doing fine. I do have wealth. I am okay. And they're grateful for it. So they're happy now while wanting more.
I was reading your book, The Key, and you spent a great deal of time discussing the concept of clearing. Can you explain what it means to get clear, and is this part of becoming awakened?
Well, I love that you asked that question because this is a very important subject, and it's the one that I don't think people are talking about. There's a lot of self-help books, self-help seminars, and all kind of tools and resources available to people. But until they get clear within themselves, they most likely are not going to achieve the dreams they want. Not all of them. Some things will be easier because it'll depend on whether they are blocked within or not. This is what you have to get clear or cleaned of. Now, my best way of telling people how this works is to think back to the last January 1st, New Year's Day, and the New Year's resolutions you probably made. Most people do not say things like, I'm going to start heroin tomorrow. So most people will set very positive intentions for themselves as a New Year's resolution. They want to go to the gym 3 times a week. They want to start dating more. They're going to go look for another job. They're doing something that's healthy and positive for themselves. So why don't they continue it? What happens on January 3rd or January 7th and sometimes the very next day, sometimes the same afternoon? They forgot their intentions. Why? On the conscious level, they had a very positive intention. I'm going to work out more. On the unconscious level, they had a positive counter intention that was preventing them from working out more. And the more powerful operating system in your body is your unconscious mind. So when I say you have to get clear, you have to get clear of the negative beliefs and the limitations that are in your unconscious mind. So we've been focused on money in this interview. A lot of people say that they want more money, and they focus on more money. They set goals for more money. They might even set intentions for more money. Why don't they have more money? Unconsciously, they have counter beliefs. Beliefs such as money is bad, money is evil, money will make me greedy, rich people are snobs, very wealthy corporations do nothing but hurt mankind. These are all beliefs. These are all negative beliefs. They are not facts. They are opinions. They are beliefs. These active beliefs inside of a person will prevent money from coming into their life.
So something like money is the root of all evil. People carry that around, and that's something they have to get clear of that notion completely. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Money in and of itself is neutral. Money in and of itself is paper and coin. And what I've learned is that money can make a vast, dramatic difference in your life, the life of the people around you, your family and friends, your community, and the world itself. Money is a powerful, useful tool, but we give it meaning. And if you think it is evil, you think it is bad, you're not going to want it. You can consciously say, I want it all day long. You can go and apply for jobs and open new businesses, but you'll still push it away because you think it's bad. That's what you have to get clear of.
So can you give an example from your life of a past belief you had about money, and exactly how did you go about getting rid of that belief? How did you clear a past belief?
You want to dig deep.
Very deep.
I like this challenge you've laid before me. Okay, well, first of all, most people think that there is a lack of money. There isn't enough to go around. That's scarcity thinking. That's victim thinking. The awakened millionaire does not have that. The awakened millionaire knows that there's more than enough for everybody. There's an abundance. But I was like everybody else. I thought there was a shortage. So for the very long time, I thought that the more money I spent, the less I would have. And it sure seemed real to me. And that's the nature of beliefs. You don't even know it's a belief. It seems like reality. You look around and think, well, I just spent this money, so obviously I don't have this money anymore. It's gone. So it feels like that's it. That's the dead end. That's my reality. That's how it works. But that's a belief. When I finally stopped, because I had a coach who was encouraging me to stop and look at my beliefs, and I looked at that belief and began to question that belief, I realized that it was a judgment about my life and about my income and about money and about wealth. It wasn't necessarily a fact. It seemed like a fact because I believed it. I believed it without question. And that's how most of us operate. We have beliefs we never question, and they appear in our lives as the reality we attract. When I finally questioned it and said, is it true that the more money I spend, the less I have? Well, at first I said, yes. That's what it seemed like. And then I did something deeper. I said, why do I believe that? And I said, well, that's always been the case. It's always been the case throughout my past. Every time I've looked and I spent money, the money was gone. There wasn't any more. And I said, okay, do I believe that the past will equal the future? Well, that one stopped me because I thought, well, just because that was the belief in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be the belief in the future. It could. Well, that interrupted my thought pattern. At that point, I had a choice. And I looked at it and I thought, what would I prefer to believe? If I can have it any way I want it, see, I'm starting to feel like I'm empowered now. I'm no longer a victim. If I can have it any way I want it, what would I want? And I thought, well, I prefer to have the belief, the more money I spend, the more money I receive. And I wrote that down. I thought, oh, that feels good. And I started to feel it in my body. And I sat up and I had more energy and more enthusiasm. And I probably smiled more and my eyes lit up.
Wait, the more money I spend, the more I receive. Now, that's a tough concept, I think, for people to grasp.
Yes, it is a tough concept when you still believe that the more money I spend, the less money I have.
So that's a limiting belief in itself.
Absolutely. This is one of the most powerful tools right here. If the people listening to The Awakened Millionaire get that, they will become an awakened millionaire. Because the only thing stopping the income from coming to you, the millions, the wealth, whatever, is a belief. That is it. A belief. Change the belief, you change your reality. Change beliefs around money, you start to attract money. It's as simple and as profound as that.
Okay, we're talking about attracting money. But now I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Mr. Fire.
Go for it.
In the book, The Secret, you make a really gutsy statement, and I'm going to quote it. I wrote it down here on paper so I didn't get it wrong. The universe likes speed. When opportunity is there, when the impulse is there, when the intuitive nudge from within is there, act. That's your job, and that's all you have to do. Can you take a minute and expound for the listeners on why taking action is so important to becoming an awakened millionaire? In fact, if I remember correctly, you were the only teacher from The Secret who appeared on the Larry King live show and boldly said, "The law of attraction is only the start. There's much more to it." What exactly did you mean?
Well, I think I meant what I said. First of all, the law of attraction is a start. The movie, The Secret, the book, The Secret, even my own books like The Attractor Factor, they simply introduce the idea of the law of attraction. They don't explain it with any depth. They don't give you enough clarity for you to be able to go out in the universe and actually work with it. And that's why so many people are critical of it. A lot of people will follow the law of attraction as they learned it from The Attractor Factor or the book or movie, The Secret, and they'll get results. But they'll only get results in areas where they are clear, where they don't have counter intentions within them. If they have blocks within them unconsciously, they will go and try to use the law of attraction, the attractor factor, or the secret, and they'll say it doesn't work. The reality is, and this is the graduate school level of understanding the law of attraction, is that it is working. It's always working. The law is like the law of gravity. The law of attraction is definite. It is a universal law. But it's working on an unconscious level. What you're attracting is based on what you unconsciously believe, not on what you consciously state or believe. That's the big key difference. The other part, the first part that you quoted there about taking action, that's of fundamental importance. Way too many people are not taking action. They're sitting around, they're visualizing, they're meditating, they're holding their hands, and they're humming and so forth and visualizing that the new car is going to show up or great millions and abundance is going to show up, and then it doesn't show up. It doesn't show up because they didn't do anything. Manifesting anything, becoming an awakened millionaire or anything else that you want depends on a co-creation. You have to do your part. The universe, the rest of the world will do their part if you do your part. So that's another element of this. But there's another one. People ask me how I am so prolific and productive. I have 30, 40, 50 books. I don't know. I've got all kind of articles and DVDs and audios, and I'm in different movies and many other projects going on and seminars that I'm doing and speaking engagements. And they're saying, do you ever sleep? How do you get all this done? Well, here's a big secret, and the awakened millionaire would know this. When you receive an idea for a product, for a service, for a business, whatever it happens to be, when you receive it, it's a gift. It is a gift from the divine. It is a gift from God, if you will. It's a gift from the universe. However you want to attribute it, it's a gift. I treat that with respect. I realize that that gift came to me, and it may have come to a few other people at the same time. That's the way the universe seems to work. And my job is to act on it right then and there to the best of my ability for two reasons. The first is when an idea comes to you, there's a sense of exuberance that comes with it. You're excited. You're enthused. It's like, oh my goodness, I have an idea. The light bulb's gone off. You feel the electricity. I want to act right then and there because I can use that energy to implement the idea. Now, this is a major secret. Most people will do what? They'll write down the idea and say, I'll get to it next week, next month, next year. I'll put it in my idea book. Very often, and I would say 99.9% of the time, they never get to the idea. And when they do, they no longer have the energy to implement it. It's gone. The energy comes when the idea comes. So to the best of my ability, I stop and act right then and there. The other reason to act now is I've learned that whoever gave me that gift, the divine, the universe, my unconscious mind, wherever that gift came from, was also sent to 5 or 6 other people, at least. And that's because the universe has learned not everybody's going to act on the same idea. So to hedge its bets, more or less, it's given it to 5 or 6 people with the idea that whoever acts on it first is the one who's going to make the millions. So the awakened millionaire knows you have to take action, you have to take action now, and you have to do it right away because if you don't, somebody else will benefit from it. That's not bad because you can still be late in the game and still make money from it. But traditionally in marketing, and I know a wee bit about marketing, the first one to market is the one who makes the most money and gets the most fame. So these are all reasons why it's a co-creation and you have to understand the deeper levels of how it works to manifest anything.
Well, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but since you brought this subject up, tell the listeners the story about the DVD program somebody asked you about and you were already making it in the back of your house. I don't remember all the details. I'm sure you can share it really well. That ties right into the law of attraction and making money and how you ended up making a ton of money off this thing and somebody was talking about it, but you were doing it. And if I remember right, you did it quickly, too. And you brought it to market in a matter of, was it hours, a couple of days? Fill us in on that.
Well, I'm surprised at your memory. You do remember all these things, don't you? Well, first of all, that's absolutely correct. I got an idea for a DVD one time, and a friend of mine, Mark Ryan, and I sat down, and we said, let's shoot this. And he came over to my house. We went in the backyard, and we created a DVD called Subliminal Manifestation. And that particular one was on attracting wealth.
Now, this was an idea that just came to you.
Yes.
Just came to you out of the blue.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how the ideas come. They come by grace. The muse delivers them and you say, thank you. Bring them on.
The reason I'm emphasizing this is because we all get those ideas. I probably get 100 of them a day. I don't do anything about it.
Well, you're missing out on great millions by missing out.
You're not kidding.
So yes, I got an idea. I invited a friend, Mark Ryan, to come to the house. We set up a stool in the backyard under some trees on a warm, sunny day in Texas. He put up a video camera and we filmed it. We filmed it in 2 hours. So from idea to him coming to my house to filming the DVD and beginning to produce the copy for it to put up a website was probably 24 hours. While we were out there, and this is the punchline you're referring to, while we were out there filming it, somebody else had gotten the same idea. He called me. He called, but he couldn't reach me because I was in the backyard filming. So the call went to voicemail. When I went to receive it, we had finished our product. We had finished the Subliminal Manifestation Attract Wealth DVD. What was the call about? He had an idea to do a Subliminal Manifestation DVD on how to attract wealth using hypnosis principles and so forth.
Literally what you were doing, he called up about, and you were already done with it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What this is an example of is, first of all, when ideas show up, more than one person gets them. Second of all, if you drag your feet, somebody else is going to act sooner than you and make money from it. In this particular case, the person who made money from it was myself and my partner, Mark Ryan.
I'm just sitting here amazed. Taking a product to market within 24 hours in and of itself, that's amazing. But the whole idea that you had this epiphany and you just went for it, you let go. Put out the intention that you're going to sell this thing right away, and you made money. I mean, that ties together everything we're talking about.
That's my MO. That's how I work these days. The idea comes, I act very quickly. Since I'm mostly internet-driven, I can often put a website up within 24 hours. There have been times when I woke up in the morning, I had an idea, I went and wrote it, I wrote the copy for it, I put up the website, and that evening I was telling my list, hey, I have a new idea, you can go buy it over here. So I've learned that the awakened millionaire is awake to ideas and awake to the fact that you have to take action when those ideas come. These are important elements that most people don't know about. And if they do, they don't take action, which is another thing the Awakened Millionaire would know. Take action. You must implement these things in order to attract any abundance into your life.
So then basically the law of attraction in and of itself is not enough. You have to take action. So basically, are these things that we're attracting to us, are they already there? And because we're now open, we're letting go, we're putting out the energy, are those things that we're just like we're awakening, we're seeing things for the first time, but they're always there. It's just we've taken a different viewpoint. We've shifted our mind. Is that basically it? It's kind of like the example I think of when somebody asks you, you know, to find everything brown in the room. But I wouldn't have noticed these things had somebody not said it and I got focused on it. Am I attracting it or was it always there in the first place?
Boy, well, that's a fantastic example. You are simply becoming awake to it. It was already there. The Awakened Millionaire looks around and sees opportunities everywhere.
So the millions are all around us. They're there. We just have to get tuned into that.
Well, actually, if you look really close, the billions are there. But I'm just stretching people to the millions area on this particular audio.
Oh, we're going to get to that question about billionaire versus millionaire. That's coming.
Good.
One of the things I'm really fascinated about when it comes to you, and you're a multifaceted guy. You're into marketing, you're into spirituality, you're into cars, all different things. I'm just curious if you could share with the listeners how Inspired Action made you a marketing genius and a best-selling author at the same time. Your story is incredible about how you bridge that gap. A lot of people look at Joe Vitale and they say, oh, he's a marketing guy. Some people say he's the law of attraction guru. But you had to become a marketing genius to get your books out there on spirituality. So you were spiritual first, but you took this incredible Inspired Action to bridge the gap so you can get your word out there. Can you just expound for a minute or two on that process, what you were thinking back in when you had your first book that you couldn't sell? And where was that shift? Because you weren't a marketing guy then yet.
I think the biggest answer that you're looking for here that would be the one that people can chew on the most is that I faced my fears. I faced my fears. I've ended up telling people that the wealth you seek is most likely sitting under whatever it is you fear to do. Now, I got to repeat that because this is amazing. It's profound. The wealth you are seeking right now, the millions you're seeking, whatever wealth amount that you are seeking, it's hiding under what you are afraid to do. That is profound. And I'll give you a quick example. I mentioned earlier that one of my books was Spiritual Marketing. It later became The Attractor Factor. I wrote Spiritual Marketing as a blend of my spiritual and miracle principles. It was an introduction to the five-step process for attracting whatever you want. And I wrote it only for my sister. Why did I only write it for her? I'm very close to my sister. She had been on welfare. Her kids were ill. Her husband wasn't working. I just felt for her. She lived 2,000 miles away. I couldn't see her regularly. I thought, let me go ahead and write this booklet and send it to her. So I did. I wrote it. I sent it to her. It made a difference. She got off welfare. Her husband has work. Her kids have all graduated. They've gone on to college. So she's doing much better at this point. Over time, I would slowly give out the booklet to one or two people here or there whenever I felt safe. Why did I do it only when I felt safe? It's because I was representing the American Management Association, the American Marketing Association. Nightingale Conan had produced one of my programs. I was afraid. I was nervous about what they would think. I was nervous about my own mailing list. What would my customers and clients think of me if I came out with a book called Spiritual Marketing? They'd be wondering about me talking about the woo-woo world rather than the marketing world. Or some would like I'm talking about the mystical world, but hate that I'm talking about the marketing world. It seemed like a lose-lose proposition. However, when I finally faced my fears, thanks to Bob Proctor, who embarrassed me in front of 250 people at one of his events, and he held up my book, and he said, Joe's written Spiritual Marketing, and he said, you're all going to want it. And I realized that they did want it. These people mobbed me. They wanted it. I quickly got the book in print. The book quickly became an Amazon bestseller twice. The New York Times wrote about that book. Spiritual Marketing later became The Attractor Factor when a big publisher picked it up and wanted to change the title. And a whole new career opened up for me by facing my fears. Because of Spiritual Marketing, it became The Attractor Factor. I went on The Secret. and all these other movies and so forth fell in line. But they would not have happened if I sat in a corner with a blanket over me saying, I am just a marketing person. I can never tell people the thing that I like to do, which is spiritual marketing. I can never tell them about being a awakened millionaire because of the repercussions of it. I was afraid. When I finally faced my fears, that's where the money came in. That's where the abundance came in. That's where the fame and fortune came in. Face your fears and you will attract wealth.
So if someone's having serious money problems, what's the first thing they should do and why?
Well, the first thing is to set an intention for the money that they want. And you want to be as specific as possible. I heard recently about a billionaire, and he made all of his money by saying, first of all, he set an intention for what he wanted. But just saying money wasn't clear enough. He wanted money, but that's not definite. So he looked at the Forbes 500 list, he looked at the person rated at number 500, saw how much they made, and said, all I have to do is make $1 more than that person, and I'll be on the Forbes 500. So setting a very clear, definite, concrete, measurable intention is the first thing to do. The second thing to do is to notice what comes up. In other words, it may come up, how is that possible, or how do I do it, or do I deserve this kind of wealth, or will this wealth actually hurt me? All of those are beliefs, and whatever other beliefs come up, they all have to be cleared. I talk about this in the Awakening course, that clearing is the number one thing that you have to do. Sometimes you need a miracles coach to do it. Sometimes you can do it on your own. But you have to look at your beliefs and release them to become the awakened millionaire. And the third thing you have to do is take action. That we've talked about, you have to take action. When an idea comes, when you have the impulse to do something, act. Act fearlessly. Because wherever the fear is, as we mentioned, is probably where your wealth is.
Joe, I want to shift gears for a second. I know you're a big fan of coaching. You run your own miracles coaching organization, teaching people how to attract money and attract miracles in their life. Can you elaborate a little on how you've used coaching in your life and why you recommend it so strongly?
Coaching is the single most powerful thing that I can think of that has helped me transform my life. I talk about it in my book, The Attractor Factor. I had a coach for about 10 years that I would see on a regular basis, and this man helped me single-handedly find my beliefs, release my beliefs, and change my beliefs. That helped me go through things like the poverty I was going through. I went from poverty to having money to being very successful. That was because I had somebody who believed in me, somebody who encouraged me, somebody who held me accountable, somebody who didn't judge me, somebody who loved me even as we looked for the beliefs that were holding me back. This was so successful that at a later time, when I met a group of coaches who already had one of my programs working, the Executive Mentor Coaching Program, they asked me if I'd like to have another program. And I said, yes, I've always wanted a miracles coaching program. And these miracles coaches would have to be people trained by me. Because after 10 years of working with my own coach, I knew what to ask. I knew what the mindset had to be a coach. I knew how often people had to meet. And so I set up the miracles coaching program to help others. But the coach was the first one who helped me. Having a miracles coach in my life is clearly where the credit has to go for helping me get clear to become an awakened millionaire.
How important is positive thinking to becoming wealthy? Can I be a negative thinker and still become an awakened millionaire? You hear a lot about positive thinking, but I know a lot of people who become wealthy who are negative and complaining and everything else. Can you expound just for a minute or two on that?
That's actually a very curious question. And it opens up this dialogue, and the truth is, you can become a multimillionaire with any sort of mindset, belief system, positive or negative mentality that you like. It's all a matter of, do you welcome money into your life? If you welcome money into your life, then you can be very negative and still attract money. You can be very positive and still attract money. Now, I think you will be a happier, healthier, more balanced human being, and a more positive contribution to the world if you are positive about your mindset, positive about your life, positive about your contributions. But this illustrates something very important, that if you associate money with evil or you associate money with good, you're actually wrong on both counts. Because you can have any mindset you want, as long as you are clear that you welcome money into your life, you can have money in your life, no matter what your belief system or personality happens to be.
How important is giving?
I think giving is a secret to attracting great wealth. People have talked about this in religions, for example, where they'll say give 10% of your income. And when I first heard it, I was very skeptical because I thought it meant give 10% to the church, give 10% to whoever I just heard it from. But the reality is, if you give 10% or more of your money to wherever you have received spiritual nourishment, wherever you have received inspiration, it might be a church, it might be a waiter or waitress, it might be a cab driver, it might be somebody on the street, it can be anybody. But when you give, you open your heart to receive. See, when people don't give, they're coming from a scarcity mindset. They think that there's only so much money available, they're going to hold on to it. But when you give, you send a signal to your own mind that you have more than enough. And then you also kick in this karmic marketing principle that I occasionally talk about, that when you give, somehow, some way, the universe will bestow on you 10 times more or greater. Now, the only thing that I would say as a qualifier or a disclaimer is that if you don't believe in giving, you can actually interrupt the process. If you want to prove me wrong, for example, and say, oh, that Joe Vitale talked about giving, so I'm going to give $10 to this person and look for $100, but I don't believe it's going to come, it probably won't come because that's free will and your belief system can interrupt the universal principles. So I say, look at your beliefs and look at giving. Giving to me feels wonderful, which is another secret to attracting millions. When you feel good, you start to attract people and things and opportunities that can help you make more money. So again, giving is essential to attracting money.
I know you talk a lot about gratitude and being grateful for everything you have to get more in your life. You talk about that in pretty much all your books. Can you just expound for a minute on the attitude of gratitude, so to speak?
Well, that's another secret for attracting money. When you feel grateful for what you already have, you may want more, but if you look around and say, oh, I'm grateful for this audio, I'm grateful for this book, I'm grateful for whatever it is that's in your life right now that you sincerely feel grateful for, you transform your state of being and you send out a different energy, an energy of gratitude. That energy will attract more people, places, and things, more moments that'll even be better than the one you have. They'll all be based on gratitude. They'll all be based on love, respect, and appreciation. Gratitude is a powerful tool for becoming an awakened millionaire. And in fact, an awakened millionaire is one who walks the earth in gratitude because they know that they're living a miracle. It's a miracle to be alive. So gratitude is profound, very profound.
So we alluded to it a little bit before, but I want to go back to what are the different thought patterns someone has who's an awakened millionaire versus an awakened billionaire? How does that work? How does somebody become a Bill Gates versus somebody who's earning a nice seven-figure net worth?
Well, that's a great question. What you have to do is raise your level of deservingness. Everybody has a wealth set point within them. Right now, it probably seems possible to become a millionaire, but probably impossible to become a billionaire. Why? Well, the difference is probably internal. At one point when I was making minimum wage, doing odd little labor jobs, my mindset, my wealth point, my level of deservingness said, that's all I could have. That's all I can deserve. Certainly, I wanted more. I might even have intended more. But because my belief system said that's all you can have, that's where I cut it off. I think that each person listening has to take a deep breath and say, what do I believe about money? What do I believe about what I deserve? Maybe even make the jump and mentally ask themselves, if I had $1 billion, what would my life be like? My guess is fear would come up. They'd probably think, oh, I'd have a giant corporation. I'd have a bunch of accountants. I'd have a lot of tax issues to wrestle with. And suddenly becoming a multi-billionaire becomes unpleasant. All of those thoughts and beliefs that came up with the image is what they need to look at. As they clear them by saying things like, well, if I had a corporation, I'd hire the right people to take care of it. If I had tax issues, I'd hire corporate attorneys, tax attorneys to take care of it. So as you dissolve your negativity and your beliefs about becoming a multi-billionaire, you can then go in that direction. But what you've done is raised your level of deservingness. You've raised your set point.
There's a lot said in the spiritual community about simplicity, simplifying your life. Things like cars and homes, we shouldn't want for those. There's something inherently wrong with that. In your opinion, is it okay to have material wants?
Absolutely. And in fact, the way I look at it is that the spiritual and material are two sides of the same coin. Anybody who is putting down money or putting down cars or putting down houses or putting down great wealth is coming from a self-righteous view that the world has to work in what they determine it to be a spiritual place. But who's to say that a car isn't spiritual? Who's to say that great wealth isn't spiritual? I actually believe that a balanced person has the spiritual and the material integrated within them. I don't think there's anything wrong with having cars or houses. I think that the only problem might be is somebody goes too much into an ego trip and they set what I call ego intentions. I talk about this in the Awakening course, and we talk about this in my Miracles coaching program. The short answer is, if I wanted to have the largest car collection in the world, I'd probably be coming from ego. But if I occasionally see a car that makes my heart sing, that makes me have a spring in my step, that makes me feel good to be alive, and it feels like it's coming from my intuition or a nudge within saying, that would be wonderful to have, then I think it's probably divinely guided. But who's to say outside of me whether that's true or not? That's going into self-righteous judgment. So I say the spiritual and the material are the same thing.
Thanks, Joe. I have a couple last questions before we wrap it up. A biggie that comes to mind. It seems like the wealthier friends I have, the more they're into self-education and reading books and listening to tapes and what have you. And I'm just curious, what's your take on that? I mean, you're obviously very wealthy, but you still read books and go to seminars and what have you. How important is self-education to keeping that process going?
Well, that's a great call because I am still learning. I am still growing. Yes, I read books. Amazon is my favorite place to shop, and I'm always getting new books on marketing, psychology, success, mindsets. I just keep growing and learning and stretching. I go to other seminars. A friend of mine once said that all the self-help gurus are buying all the other self-help gurus' materials. Why is that? Because we are all learning. We are all growing. We are all moving forward. I think if you want to have great leaps in your life and jump into becoming the awakened millionaire or the awakened billionaire, that it's essential for you to keep growing and stretching. And books and audios and coaching and seminars, any and all of this, I think is essential.
And to close, is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about becoming an awakened millionaire or anything else?
Well, you know, on my business card, it says a 16th century Latin phrase, Aude aliquid dignum, and it means dare something worthy. So I would challenge everybody listening to set an intention to become a millionaire or multimillionaire, or if they feel comfortable, a billionaire. I would challenge them to start taking action to make it so. I would challenge them to work on themselves and on their beliefs. I would challenge them to create or find a support system, because having people to encourage you and to keep you accountable, I think, is another key ingredient to becoming an awakened millionaire. I would challenge people to realize that what they want is to be happy. They can be happy now as they pursue the millions they seek. I challenge everybody to dare something worthy.
Joe, if people want to contact you or sign up for your newsletter, where should they go?
My main website is joevitale.com, which is www.joevitale.com. And my Miracles Coaching program is at www.miraclescoaching.com.
It's been an honor and pleasure to be with you here, Joe. Thanks for taking the time and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you, Peter, and Godspeed to all of you.
And all the listeners out there, thanks for joining us.